Hello, hey, good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a good morning so far and keeping strong in the midst of the fast. It's really a great privilege to open up the scriptures to everyone in the morning. I mean, really, I've really been enjoying this time, and I hope you have as well. And so let's hit Mark chapter 4 today. We're going to hit Mark 4. This is going to be a very interesting passage. Okay, so if you would follow along, Mark chapter 4. And he began to teach them again by the sea, and such a very great multitude gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and he was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop. And produce 30, 60, and 100-fold." And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, in order that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, and the worries of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter it and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold." And he was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a peck measure, is it? Or under a bed? It is not brought to be on is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that should come to light. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." And he is saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows, how he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade." With many such parables, he was speaking the word to them as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. And on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the multitude, they took him along with them, just as he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already filling up. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Oh, amen, amen. This is such good stuff. Okay, let's do this. I'm going to break it up into probably about four different parts. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time talking about the parables, particularly the sower. And then he has a few other seed parables. We're going to talk about light, and then we'll finish with a demonic attack on the sea. Okay, so finally, Mark lets us in on Jesus' teaching. After many frustrating passages where he just says Jesus taught, but he never told us what he taught. But this teaching is actually very, very important. And he begins with a parable. He begins with a story that these guys would have very much been in tune with. He's basically speaking a story in their language, like kind of like an analogy, if you want to use that type of word. And he's speaking to Galileans. They are rural people. Most of them are farmers. Probably, I imagine that while he's speaking this parable, there's probably a farmer that's literally sowing seed while he's speaking. Just give you an idea. Now, previously in the parables that he's given, it was always on the defensive. He was being accused, and so he would share a parable to basically defend himself. But this parable, the sower, is very unique. And the uniqueness really comes from the idea that if you look carefully, this parable opens and closes with the command to listen. So when he starts, he says, "Listen to this." And at the end, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." And so this is actually the only parable in all of the New Testament that opens and closes with the command to listen. In other words, Jesus is saying, "Hey, this is really, really important." And it's really important because this parable will actually explain all the other parables. In other words, if they don't understand this parable, they won't understand any of the other parables as well. In fact, Jesus says that in verse 13. He says, if you don't understand this one, how are you going to understand all the other ones? And so so this parable, we know, is the cornerstone parable. It's the most important one because this parable is about how parables are understood. If you can say it this way, it is a parable about sowing seed, and while Jesus is speaking it, he's doing it. Okay, so all right, maybe some of you guys are confused. Let's break this down. I'll make it really simple. Just follow along with me here. Okay, so what happens with the seed in this parable is exactly what happens in the real world. Farmers. Some seed falls on the path. You got to understand, in ancient times, they threw seed first before they tilled it. So when they threw it out, this is when the birds came. And because it didn't really go deep into the soil. And so this is what happens. They're eaten by birds. Some fall on rocky soil. In other words, it hasn't gone deep enough. And something comes up, but then it quickly withers because there's not enough nourishment, you know, underneath in the soil, and the sun withers it away. Some seeds fall on among weeds, and so it's growing. It's growing, but the weeds choke it out. And so that's all the farmers, everyone in Galilee, they go, "I got it. I understand this thing." And then some fall on rich ground, and it thrives, it grows, all kinds of wonderful things happen, 30, 60, 100 fold, all these things. And so they could totally understand that. So now, okay, let me give you the context. So he shares this parable and he says, this is the sower goes out, falls on the path, falls on rocky soil, falls amongst the weeds, rich ground. And then that's it. Okay, so just think if you're listening during this time, that's it. No further explanation, no public explanation. It's just a story. Now, listen. I hope to think that if I was there and if you were there, Buddha said, "Excuse me, Mr. Jesus, what are you talking about? You know, like what are you? I don't understand. Tell me, can you please elaborate on this?" But notice, no one does that. And but that's the whole point. It's the whole point. The greatest strength of the parable and the greatest weakness of the parable is pretty much the same. If we do not engage, then you will not get it. See, brothers and sisters, parables demand interaction. You'll notice, he says, he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, notice, it wasn't just the disciples. There were other followers. So there were some people, along with the 12, that continued on and said, "Can you explain this to us?" In other words, they were the soil, the seed that fell on good soil. Okay, do you get it? If you do not engage with the parables, you won't get it. Like I said, parables demand interaction. By their very nature, this is the key to understand parables, okay? By their very nature, they reveal the character of the person who listens or doesn't listen. Okay? That's what parables are meant to do. They reveal the character of the listener. They reveal the character of the person who listens or doesn't listen. Seems like out of this whole crowd, only a handful of followers and the disciples bother to ask Jesus to go further. In other words, the other guys don't care. They can't be bothered to do anything about this. But the followers and disciples ask. Now, this is important because remember in the previous chapter, there are the apostles, apostolos. He's going to send them out to preach. And so now notice he ends and he quotes Isaiah chapter 6. This actually is a very rare instance because all four Gospels, this doesn't happen often, all four Gospels record the same saying. So we know this is really important. Mark seems to add that the precursor that, so that, or in order that. And what he's meaning by this, he's meaning, you know, so that, in order that the prophecy will be fulfilled. In other words, when people listen or don't listen to Jesus' parables, at that very moment, Isaiah's prophecy is being fulfilled. Now, it's important for us to understand the context of Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah is lamenting and prophesying over Israel's stubbornness and their refusal to listen to God's word. It is their stubbornness. They refuse to listen to God's word. And that's what Isaiah 6, that's what the prophecy is really about. And so they willfully choose to look, but don't see. They willfully choose to hear, but they do not understand. Jesus is not telling difficult parables so that people will be cut off and judged. He wants the ones that he's sending out to understand that when they stand and speak the word, they will encounter those who refuse to listen. So let's go back to this again. So it's not about the seed. It's about the soil. I know that we said it's the parable of the sower. It's not. It's the parable of the soils. You catch my souls, same idea, okay? So let's check this out. So some soil goes along the path, get eaten up by Satan because their refusal to hear. Some soil is rocky sprouts up because, but dies down because of the refusal to hear, eventually fall away. Some soil is thorny, and they're warned not to let the worries of the world or greed or anything else choke them out, but they get choked out. Why? Because they refuse to hear. Sometimes we take this deterministic view of this and we say, okay, well, there's four kinds of people, three kinds of people. Oh, well, they're screwed. Oh, tough luck. That's not what this passage is about. It's not saying 25% of the people have it. He's saying that everyone has an opportunity, but three refuse to see and they refuse to listen. That's the whole point of the parable. This parable will give insight to all the parables. We're going to expand on it in a moment, but let me just make this note. In verse 17, Mark is the only one who speaks of persecution that comes because of the word. And this gives us another glimpse into the audience that Mark has in mind, which is what we said in the beginning of the introduction, which is the audience in Rome. This is verse 17, by the way, here in Mark 4. And only Mark would use this statement because of persecution of the word, because the Roman Christians are in the throes of persecution in this time. And so the readers of the first readers of this letter would have really understood what Mark is saying. It's kind of like a private message to the Romans in this way. Okay, so hopefully we got that. Now I'll expand on this a little bit more, because then next thing you know, in verse 21 to 25, he starts talking about the nature of light. And so again, continuing in the private discussion, Jesus, so in other words, he really wants these guys to understand this point. And so just in case the apostles and these followers didn't fully grasp the parable of the seeds in the soil, Jesus shifts his lesson to light. It's the same lesson, but coming from a different angle. And so Jesus now talks about truth and its an inherent ability to shine. And he uses the analogy of light. Lights are meant to illuminate. That's what they do. They shine, okay? They're meant to be set up on stands. Then what light does, they reveal what is hidden in darkness. You got to catch that, okay? What light does, light shines. And that's what light does. Light shines. And so what they do, when they shine, they reveal what's hidden in darkness. The parables are the same. The parables are like light that illumines and it shines. Parables, God's word, truth, you know what these things. And what they do, they are the vehicles of this illumination. And what they do, they reveal the heart. And it's just uncanny. You know, I mean, how does it happen, you know, that two people are sitting there and they hear the same exact message, and you know, they're coming from the same socioeconomic background, you know, all these things, and they hear the same message, and one just leaps at it and grabs the gospel. And the other one's like, whatever. And we just think, oh, something happened. I want you to know the truth, God's word, what happened, it revealed the heart. One heart. And we say things like open. And so, no, it's part of it. But the openness is more indicative of the quality of the heart. Others just can't be bothered. Now, that's just the reality of it. These parables, by their very nature, they shine, but there'll always be people who shove them under their beds or cover them up. Parables speak and shine. The word has power of its own and it grows. Our response, in other words, the measure of our attention that we use, actually means everything. If we genuinely give ear, then more will be given to us. If we refuse to engage, then even what we have will be taken away. Now, this is not a statement on Jesus' character, because we know he longs for everyone to be saved. He isn't trying to take things away from people. It is a statement about the nature of truth and the consequences of refusing to listen to him. That's the reality. That's what light does. That's what the parables do. That's what God's word does. This is what this whole thing is really about. And I mean, it's interesting. And if you think about it, we are Christians, and because when we heard the gospel, when we heard about forgiveness and heard about the cross and about Jesus, we investigated it further. Thus, we had, right, our soil was in the right place. We didn't refuse to believe. It's a willful choice. It's not something that's done to somebody. It's a willful choice. Others have heard the gospel. They've heard the message. There was something inside longing. Remember, he says he has set eternity in our hearts. There's something that longs for God inside of us. And yet, we just say, oh, well, and we just let it go. And we deny the overtures of the Spirit in our life. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what these parables are really referring to. And then he's going to expand on this even more. And then in verse 26 to 34, now we have some more seed parables. And so having already outlined the nature of understanding and the demand to engage Jesus, he expands his thoughts. So Jesus is speaking of the seed having power of its own. After it's sown on the ground, guess what? It's going to grow no matter what. Notice the other seeds, it was either prevented from growing or it started growing, but other things happen. It's the same thing. As light can only shine, seed can only grow. And even though many will reject the words, the apostles will share, you know, when they start preaching, they must trust the power of the message. They will soon spread themselves. And so basically saying, don't worry, you know, basically you're going to be rejected a lot when you share the truth. But when you share the truth, don't worry, something's going to happen. God's going to do things. And then he takes it a further and he talks about the mustard seed. And it's so tiny. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, it's like a grain of sand. It's so tiny, but it can grow to an enormous shrub. And he's saying the kingdom of God is like that. Another reason to have confidence in the seed, in other words, the word of God. Don't underestimate the power of the seed. History shows that seed, this tiny seed, multiplies. I'm talking about the gospel now, the word of God, multiplies and spreads and grows beyond our imagination. Right now, we estimate at least 2 billion people on this planet are followers of Christ. I mean, can you imagine growing from 12 to 2 billion and growing the fastest rate ever in the history of the world that's happening right now? And so history shows that seed truly does multiply. And this reminds us of Isaiah 55, verse 11. He says, my word will not return empty without accomplishing what I desire, succeeding in the purpose for which I sent it. And so Jesus is discipling his disciples. He's telling these guys, look, and you got the word. I'm sending you out. You go preach the word. People will just refuse to listen to you. But don't worry. When the seed, just you cast a seed, because when the seed grows, it's going to keep growing and it's going to be a movement beyond you can believe. This is part of encouragement. And then Mark concludes this pericope here by telling us that he says that they tell many more parables and explains, these to them. But why? Why does he just explain it to them? It's because they ask, because they were engaged. They wanted to know. In other words, they were hearing and they were seeing. That's the whole point. And the last part of chapter 4 is the demonic attack from 35 to 41. The Gospels, they tell us of two storms in the Sea of Galilee. The second one we'll read in a few days in Mark 6:45 is just a contrary wind, and Jesus walks on it. That one's not as serious, but this one is serious. And the other Gospels call it the Iraculo. It's a very it's a dangerous and so so much so that think about this: seasoned fishermen, these guys fish their whole life out in the Sea of Galilee, and they're scared for their lives. And the Sea of Galilee is known for these microclimates. The Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake. It's huge. And you know, I've been there. I've swam in it. You know, it's beautiful. It's 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. But even though it's enormous, you can always see the other side. Because it's one of the lowest lakes in the world, sitting at 700 feet below sea level. So there tends to be a lot of microclimates. But I want you to know, this is not just a storm. This is a demonic attack. And so you can see Jesus is so exhausted from ministry that he falls asleep. It kind of reminds us of Jonah. You know, there's another demonic storm, if you remember, in Jonah. And Jonah is asleep in the midst of this demonic storm. But if you read the passages carefully, only a few boats are affected by the storm, but only their boat is about to sink. It's filling up with water. So they wake Jesus up, and we know it's demonic because of what Jesus does. What does he do? He rebukes the wind and the sea. He uses the same phrase he uses to speak to demons. Hush! Right? You know, he rebukes, and so we know that this is a demonic encounter. In other words, the devil sought to kill him, sought to wipe out all. He's like, oh man, this guy's interrupting my devil's thing. This guy's interrupting my business. So Satan basically tries to wipe him out, and so then you understand what Jesus is saying. He says, and he wonders why they were afraid, and he says, why are you so afraid? You know, I mean, Jesus has been dealing with the demonic from the beginning. People are coming to him, all kinds of things, and Jesus is saying, like, haven't you seen me, like, have total command over the forces of darkness? It's not so much that, like, the question really is not why you're so afraid, but more so like, why do you lack such discernment? Didn't you know that this is a demonic attack? Didn't you know that, like, I'm like the king? You know, that I have total command over the forces of darkness? So why are you so scared about these demons and these type of things? And the disciples, they were terrified. The reality is the test of the storm revealed that they still have no idea who Jesus is. And so it's a telling scene that's going on here. All right. So, yeah, I told you, wow, great, great passage, right? So let's close our eyes. And as we think about the soil, let's pray. I mean, this is when we talk about our intercession. Let's pray. Let's pray that we would be good soil. Let's pray that our hearts would be so moldable and form fitting, and that we would just receive God's word, and then it would grow in our hearts. I mean, let's really pray about the soil of our hearts, that we would be the person that receives, it's really up to us. It's not just some, you know, like some like mysterious prayer that we pray. In the same way that refusal to listen is about us, the willingness to listen and to learn is also about us, to be teachable. You can control that, brothers and sisters. And so as we just move into a time of worship, let's pray. Let's pray for good soil. Let's pray that our heart would be good soil. There'd be a great willingness in our hearts to listen and follow the Lord and all those wonderful things. Huh? And let's just meditate upon that as we sing this song together.
to see things like you do. God, I look to you, 'cause you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. God, I look to you. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, 'cause you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock, forever.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for the good soil of our hearts. Let's just offer up our teachableness, our inquisitiveness, our desire to learn and grow before the Lord. And let's ask Him, God, make it bigger, make it continue to grow in our lives. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's present them before Jesus. Let's pray for our community battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus today, and let's pray for Singapore. Let's lift up SPSG, PSAM Kim. Let's pray that Singapore will continue to, not only SPSG, but the whole country will continue to go deeper in the Lord. Let's pray in the U.S. as well. Let's pray for SP New York, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's pray for our church plant there, and just in the craziness, racial unrest, political unrest, physical COVID unrest. Let's just really pray for mercy over the United States. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our education department. Let's pray for our SP kids. Lift up Pastor Mary and Lisa and the challenges of doing online. They've been doing a wonderful job leading our children. Pray for SP youth, Donald and SP youth, Pastor Andrew. Let's just lift them up. Let's ask for God's hand to be with our leaders, our volunteers, but especially our kids, our young people. Let's ask. Let's pray over our prayer and healing ministries, our IP, the well, and the river. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to be with our prayer warriors, our ministers, our inner healing counselors, that they would really minister effectively, pray powerful prayers on behalf of the house. And let's just lift up. Let's pray for evening outreach, SP Lights and Homie that's been suspended. But let's just lift up and ask God to continue to minister to the ones that do go out during this time, and that their ministry will be effective. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's continue to pray the cases go low. I mean, it's trending down, praise God. Let's continue to pray. Hopefully our kids can go back to school after Chinese New Year, and we'll be able to go back to work and back to service. And just really pray for the ones that are affected physically with the virus, but also businesses and people that are struggling as a result. Let's just really lift up our city. And I know this is not on the list, but before we get into the personal prayers, let's just pray for our conference that's happening next weekend. Let's pray for the sessions. And there's a lot of things to put together because all different churches are involved in this process. Let's pray that our whole SP family all over the world would really be blessed and really come together in unity during this time and really grow, that there'll be really good, rich soil. And because of this conference, there will be fruit that grows 30, 60, 100 fold. Can we just pray for that right now? Let's go to the member focus and let's pray for Juhei Chen from New Conduit. Pray for full deliverance from her lower back pain. Pray that she may truly lay down the idols in her life and to live more intentionally for the kingdom of God. Now let's lift up Juhei. Let's pray for Carol from Hollywood House Church. Pray for parenting in God's way. Pray to find continuous career development path and family health physically and mentally. Let's lift up Carol and her family. Let's pray for Genevieve from King's Court. Pray for family reconciliation. Pray for her sister Annie to return to church and for Anita's healing and to find a church community. And let's lift up Genevieve. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, that, Lord, every lesson, God, every teaching, Lord, every Bible study, every place where your word, Lord, is thrown and scattered, Lord, it really is a microscope, God, into our hearts. And I pray, God, that when we're in service or when we're reading and we are so disinterested, God, let there be a check in our hearts to say, actually, I'm not in the right place. There's something wrong. There's something going on in my heart. Instead of just dismissing it and just moving on, God, I pray for that check in our hearts, Lord, that we present you a cultivated heart, a good soil for the word to go down. That's what it's meant to do, God. And we realize that we are hijacking it by our attitudes, maybe our indifference or our laziness, Lord, or our rebellion, God. And we recognize that we need to take ownership of that. And so, Lord, make us good soil, God. And when it's not, convict us, Lord, so that we can repent and then be teachable again. And so we thank you. Watch over us. Give us strength today, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day today. Bye-bye.